Isn't it joyful to see this front filled with the children and the teachers? Isn't that awesome? Love that. Love that. Love everybody's kind of getting back in the groove, coming in from the summer, and where we all kind of scatter, and it's just good to have. Sometimes just good to have routine, isn't it? Glad that you're here this morning. If you are visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. You know what? A couple of years ago, our ministry staff was praying. We try to do that on Monday mornings, and we were praying. We were listening to some songs, and I had that song, "Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here." I had never heard that song. I think it was about 2 years ago, and we began to play that song, and I just really felt the Spirit with us in that place, and I felt like that's the cry of our heart, should be the cry of our heart on Sunday mornings, is that the Holy Spirit is here, that you're going to hear something besides something from me, that the Holy Spirit is going to stir something in us. And so we don't play it every Sunday, but most Sundays we, leading into this sermon time, we play that song, "Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here." And so I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. I hope you feel the love of His people in this place. So if you're new with us this morning, you know, I go to a lot of different churches, but I've heard from other people that sometimes they'll visit a church and it's like, they didn't really want me. We want you. We want you to be here. We welcome new people into our church family. So we're glad that you're here. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, and we welcome you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but we'd love to know you were here. And we promise we won't stalk you or do anything weird or anything, but we'd just like to know that you're here. And you can just leave that in the seat there when you leave today. So if you would, turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. Great scripture, and I really, you know, I was prayerful about it as we come into this new season, this new school year. What do we need to hear, Lord, as we're starting this new chapter with families and so forth, sending kids off to college maybe for the first time, or sending that little kindergartner for the first time. And so I was really led to this passage out of Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Apostle Paul says these words, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Let me repeat that. Can I repeat that? "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and we ask you again to come. You are indeed welcome here. We ask you to come, and we ask you to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Billy mentioned in his prayer time, today's sermon, you probably saw it also in your bulletin there, the full armor of God, the full armor of God. And a little subtitle, living a life of victory, living a life of victory. When I was a little boy, my brother and I used to get my mama's yardsticks. Do you anybody else have sword fights with their mama's yardsticks? Anybody else get their rear end busted when they broke the yardsticks? But I can remember Jay and I would scrounge up and you always wanted to get, you know, some of them were like real flimsy and then some of them were like a little thicker. You always wanted to find the thicker one, you know, do a little more damage with that baby. And you get that yardstick and then you get you an old trash can lid. Okay, come on. I know there's some people that's done this. You boys are all looking guilty. So you get that and you'd have a little sword fight. And then you'd break the yardstick and get whooped. The full armor of God. The full armor of God. You know, we're going to walk down through, what does this really mean? What is God telling us about this armor? But before we get into that, I want to touch on a couple of things. The first few verses here, before he starts speaking of the armor, he says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. So in other words, there's going to be a battle, and the battle is not ours. Scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 20, it says that the battle is not yours, but God's. So that tells me that there is a battle. We have to understand that there is a battle, but we are not responsible. We are fighting that battle in the power of the Lord. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, you know, I've actually heard this from Christians over the years. People that don't believe in the devil believe that there's just, oh, well, just bad things happen. There's really not a devil. It's like, tell Jesus that. I mean, Jesus did battle with the devil. Jesus talked about the devil. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But it's saying in this scripture that the devil has schemes. Hello? Is anybody listening? He is scheming against us. And we need to understand that. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not, you know, that man or that woman or that person, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So it's this passage is establishing first, we need to understand there's a battle. And the fight is not ours to win. We have the power of God himself living inside of us through his Holy Spirit. And the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against Satan. And it's against all of his demons and the powers of this dark world. So, here's that word in verse 13. Therefore, what do you do when you see therefore? You back up a few verses and you see what it's there for. What he's saying, there's this battle and the devil is scheming to take us out. Therefore, since he's scheming to take us out, he's saying, therefore, I got some suggestions for you. I don't just toss you out into the arena and say, good luck. That's not what God does. He equips us for this battle, for the schemes that the devil has against us. And so we need to understand, church, we need to understand that Satan wants our families. He wants our marriages. He wants our children. He wants you. If we don't understand that we're in a battle, then we've already lost the battle. So we need to understand that. So therefore, since we're in this battle, put on the full armor of God so that there's a purpose for putting on the armor of God. When the day of evil comes, it doesn't say if it comes, it says when it comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And God is good. He doesn't just toss us out there and say, good luck, buddy. All right, to live a victorious life against this scheming enemy, to live a victorious life, we must put on the belt of truth. Now, that, in other words, the belt of truth is guarding against the enemy's lies. The belt, He says, after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. There is an enemy, as I said, and he is a liar. He is a schemer. He wants to take us out. Listen, again, if someone is struggling with it, if we think that we're just watching some kind of, you know, horror film or something when we talk about the devil, and we don't understand that there really is an enemy out to get us, listen to the words of Jesus. These are his words, not mine. There is no truth in him. He's speaking of the devil. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So, and those lies are packaged in all sorts of flavors. Many times, those lies could be things like, you're worthless. You're worthless. Now, I said this a few months ago. You know, y'all are going to laugh probably, but it was real to me. But I got home one day. This was several years ago, and I got home one day after Sunday, and everything had gone fine. The church service, I thought, had gone just fine. And I'm sitting there, and Cheryl and I are sitting in our chairs on Sunday afternoon, and I just looked, and this is what's rolling through my mind. And I just looked at her, and I said, I-S-U-C-K. I don't like that word, so I'll just spell it. I-S-U-C-K. And she goes, what? And I repeated it. And she goes, she just kind of shook her head and said, no, you do not, S-U-C-K. And we don't use that word. It's forbidden, right, girls? It's my girls can't use that word either. But at least not around me. But the enemy, number one, knew that I hated that word and knew that what I attached to that word, and he wanted to destroy me. So he's just rolling those thoughts through. U-S-U-C-K, U-S-U-C-K. It was just rolling. He's the father of lies. Lying is his native tongue. I'm not. I don't do that. I am a child of the king. You are a child of the king. God's word says that we are adopted by the King of Kings. We're adopted into his family. And I love that imagery of adoption, because it's like he's walking through the orphanage and there's all these children, and he comes up to you and he says, I want that one. That one right there. That's the one I want. And he adopts us into his family. So we're his child. So we don't need to listen to the lies. The belt of truth. The belt of truth holds everything together. If you kind of in West Texas lingo, it holds your britches up. I mean, what would we be without our belt? You know, it holds everything together. The truth of who you are in Christ holds us together. Secondly, to live a victorious life, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, resisting temptation. Now, I preached on this 2 weeks ago, and I actually, and it's not because I preached it, but I just really believe that if you didn't hear that sermon 2 weeks ago, I think you need to hear it, not because it came from me, but because I think the Lord had something to say. So it's online. You can go to our website, wileymethodist.org, or our app, and you can see that. But it was Righteous Living was the sermon title. But I spoke in that sermon that we are indeed saved by grace through faith. So our salvation is not because of our own righteousness. Our salvation is by grace through faith. In other words, because Jesus did it, because of the stuff Jesus did. But then we are saved by grace through faith, but then we are called to a life of righteousness. And so how do we, you know, he's talking about a breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate? If you think about this suit of armor, what is the breastplate mostly protecting? The vital organs, number one, your heart. If this heart gets taken out, the whole body is destroyed. And so he's saying that to protect your heart, have a heart of righteousness. And we do that. I mean, I don't know, I'd have to get a tape measure, from here to here, whatever that is, 12 inches or whatever, that's a pretty short journey. But the things we put in here, the Gemini twins, my little college girls that left graduated last year used to tease me because I would tell them this, what you put in here comes out here. And they would tease me about that. But it is true. If we put it in here, it comes out here and it comes out here in our lives. So there's this protecting of our hearts, the breastplate of righteousness. God is calling us to be a holy people, a righteous people. So protect our hearts and our minds. Thirdly, a victorious life is lived. To have a victorious life lived, we must put on the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. In other words, stand firm in Christ. And I love that. I always kind of struggled until I really studied this a little bit more. What does that mean, the gospel of peace with the readiness that comes, fits your feet with the gospel of peace, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? And so I was thinking about that, and our feet, Jesus said that He is the rock, He is the solid foundation, that all other ground is sinking sand. You remember the old great hymn? And so our feet, we stand on the gospel. We stand on the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is. And we have that, no matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what the world throws at us, we have the gospel of peace, that foundation that Jesus is the rock. And we, you know, too many times, and I know I made this same mistake, too many times we think the Christian life is about leading a good life, a good moral life. Well, as I said in the last point, we're called to righteousness, but it's not about that at all. The true Christian life is about what Jesus has done for us, not what we're doing for Him. Or you shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. It's what He's done for us, and when once we understand who Jesus is and what He has done for us, it is a game changer. It is a game changer. No longer, you hear people say this all the time, that, oh, well, Jesus was he was a prophet. He was a very good man and all this stuff and everything. It's like, no, he wasn't. He was God made flesh. He was God made flesh who came to the earth to die for us, to pay the penalty that we owed. And once we understand who He is, we can have peace. We can stand firm in who Christ is. Take that to school with you, kids. That's what I'm saying. Number four, to live a victorious life, we must put on the shield of faith. The shield of faith. In other words, protecting against Satan's attacks. And again, we have to understand that that we are under attack, and that you're going to get those lies, just like I told you about that Sunday when I was getting those lies from the enemy. Because it really, that particular Sunday, it really didn't matter if I preached a good sermon or a bad sermon, or if church went well or if it didn't go well, because the lie was still the lie. Because I didn't S-U-C-K. I was a child of the King. And so we raise up the shield of our faith in who we are. Faith is being certain. This is in Hebrews, I believe Hebrews 11 says, it's being certain of what we hope for. So faith is not, we don't have, it's not a certainty. We have faith because we just believe. And I'll tell you, the reason I have faith in Christ is because of the history that I have with Him. How He has loved me, how He has forgiven me for things in my life, and what He has done for me. So that has strengthened my faith. So we raise up the shield of faith. And it says we raise it up, and it can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In other words, when those lies come, and they will come, because Jesus said the enemy is the father of lies. It's his native tongue. And he will speak lies to us. Not long ago, Cheryl is a life coach, and she was speaking with a couple not long ago in marriage. And this particular couple, both of them, and this is not a condemning statement, but both of them had been divorced four times. And she was speaking to this couple, and the man said, in the midst of that, the man said, "I think I'm done. I think I'm done. And I thank the Lord maybe telling me it's okay to be done." I'm like, no, he's not. That's not the Lord's voice. And so many times he whispers, it's like, can you believe she treats you like that? You deserve better than that. Can you believe that he does that? Do you believe he said that? You deserve better than that. Those are the lies of the enemy. What God says is love. Love is action. Love is not something that we receive. Love is something we give. Love is proactive. It's intentional. It's not just this warm, fuzzy feeling that we have. We raise up the shield of faith. Fifth thing, to live a victorious life, we must put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And you think about that, the helmet, what is it protecting? Our minds. Take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects our minds. The helmet of salvation, in other words, preserving our faith. A way that when the enemy comes and he gives us lies and he says you're worthless and all of those different things, that we raise up that shield of faith and we put on that helmet of salvation. It's like, I don't care what you say, enemy. Jesus died for me. His blood saves me. I am saved. I am a child of the King. I have eternal life through Christ Jesus. So the helmet protecting our mind. And that kind of leads me into this next point, the sixth point. To live a victorious life, we must put on the sword of the Spirit. In other words, prevailing with God's word. You know, the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you think about it, all of these pieces of armor are defensive pieces, except for this one. The sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon. There is power in the Word of God. I tell people, because when Jesus was doing battle with Satan, what did he do battle with? The Word of God. Now, it's good enough for the Son of God. It's probably good enough for us, right? And the enemy, because he is a liar, he takes Satan knows Scripture too. Did you know that? He knows Scripture, but he will pervert it. He twists everything he touches. He perverts and he twists, and then he tries to present us this perverted gospel. We're seeing that in our culture today, by the way, folks. We're seeing that in our churches. That the enemy takes it and usually here, not to get off track, but we take that word love and the enemy goes, he twists it. And he says, this is, how can, you ever heard this? How can love be wrong? Well, you give me a piece of paper, let me start writing. There's a lot of ways that love can be wrong when it's perverted. So the sword of the Spirit is to know, read, I tell you this all the time, read God's word for yourself. Don't trust me. Don't trust me to tell you what it says. There was a heavy price paid so that you and I could have this in our hands. There were many, many, many people were killed trying to get this to the masses. Because back centuries ago, the church had the Word of God, and they didn't want the common people to have it because they wanted to tell you what it said. And they would just make stuff up. But we have the Word of God. We could go through people's houses, and you probably have dozens in your home. If you don't, come see me, and I'll give you a dozen. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's an offensive weapon. So know the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. I was visiting with somebody this morning that was struggling in their life, and they were coming in kind of a new start, a new chapter. And as I was visiting with that person, we were talking about, it's fine and dandy to have some changes in your life, go get some therapy or go to AA or whatever it is you're struggling with. and kind of get a fresh start. But unless God's in the middle of it, the likelihood of us reverting back is very high. But so come to church. I mean, and I tell people, if Wiley Methodist Church is not your thing, find one. Find one that preaches God's word. Plug in. Join. Make covenant with those people. Get into God's word. Begin to read God's word and see what he has to say for you, because he answers all of our questions. He answers all of our questions. It's amazing when I'm counseling with people, anything I have to say to anyone that's worth anything comes from God's word. And they say something, I'm like, well, let me read this scripture to you. Here's what God's word says about that. So get into his word, the offensive weapon. And by the way, that word offensive, it is offensive to people. To the non-believer, the word that people that quote scripture, that know scripture, that's offensive. It literally is offensive. And then finally, to live a victorious life, we must also pray in the Spirit. Now this is kind of that last little piece beyond the armor. But I wanted to include it there because the prompting to us is to pray in the Spirit constantly. To pray constantly. Not just sometimes, not just whenever we're in crisis, but I don't know about you. I feel like that kind of just throughout the day, just kind of driving down the road or whatever, I'm just kind of always just kind of got this dialogue going with the Lord. It's not always a formal time. But just this dialogue with the Lord, it's like, Lord, you know, sometimes on a Sunday morning when we're worshiping, I'm just thanking the Lord for you guys. Just thanking him for being here with us, him being here with us. I'm just, you know, prayer is not always just this formal occasion where we get on our knees and we put our hands together and we pray, it's a lifestyle. And here's what God's word says about it. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And he's speaking of other Christians. We should lift one another up. It doesn't mean we can't pray for those who are outside of Christ, but the command here is to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then Paul also in 1 Thessalonians says it this way, be joyful always, pray continually. And I love the New King James says, without ceasing. Pray continually, without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to pray consistently, continually, without ceasing. That's the will of God for you, to be in constant communication with him. Now, church, and I actually had several conversations this morning, I guess. But I was talking with somebody else this morning, and we were talking about, you know, being a parent and being a spouse and so forth. And I tell people this when I'm counseling with them, the objective is not perfection. You know, you can't be a perfect husband. You can't be a perfect wife. You can't be a perfect daddy. You can't be a perfect mommy. But the goal is intentionality and consistency. Intentionality and consistency with God right in the middle of it. So if you're worried about, I'm not a very good parent, man, just love your kids consistently. They don't expect you to be perfect. Just love them consistently. What a great, if we can do this consistently, God has given us the map how to get through this struggle that we find ourselves in this world where we have someone scheming against us. He's given us the tools. So if you would just bow your head with me. If our praise team would come on up. Lord, we thank you that just the scripture that comes to my mind, Lord, is that greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. So yes, we have an enemy, but he's not as great as you are. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful that you are great. I'm thankful that you are more powerful than the enemy. I'm thankful that you love us. I'm thankful that you have given us the armor of God to put to Lord, and you tell us the peace that we have. You've given us the armor, but what you've told us is put it on. Put it on. Here it is. It's laid out for you. Clothe yourselves in it. So show us how, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we close today.